Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Last time I spoke on Vishnu Sahasranam. One of the names I spoke on, name 309, Ishtaha, who is desirable. Everything about Krishna is desirable. That well-known prayer is there, Madhura Adhipater Akilam Madhuram, and it's described how everything about Krishna is very sweet. The jiva in the pure form likes things sweet. There may be others who are more attracted to blood and violence and anger more than sweetness. That's generally considered in the mode of ignorance. But even if you like blood and anger and violence, there's Nrisimhadev. The most famous picture of Nrisimha in ISKCON is that of him ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. That was painted by Jadurani Devi Dasi. When she first submitted the painting to Srila Prabhupada for his approval, he told her, more blood, put more blood. Then again she put more blood, and he said, more blood. Should be very ghastly. That photo is quite common on the internet among people who've got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. They're attracted by that. It's quite common in the Western world, not in India, that people, they like that. Nasty things. There was one gang in California, it first came up in the 1960s, the Hells Angels. They call themselves Hells Angels. You also get in India Kali worshippers, tantrics. It's a little different though. It's not that they specifically take pleasure in everything that is nasty. Well, to some extent, sacrificing animals, but a lot of them are in, most Kali worshippers are in their day-to-day life just like everyone else. In Bengal, there are so many Kali worshippers. But in their day, like I say, in their day-to-day life, they're like everyone else. It's not that they're particularly inclined to inflict violence on others, or they'll all be meat eaters, or at least fish eaters. But then almost everyone else in Bengal is anyway. So anyway, if you want blood and gore, a gore here, I'm saying an English word, G-O-R-E. We're not J-A-U-R, Gaura. If you want blood and gore, then there's Nrisimhadev. So Krishna is like a kalpa vriksha. Whatever we desire, we can get from Krishna. Even if we desire to forget Krishna, Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can forget him. If we desire to attain Krishna, Krishna will give us the intelligence. Buddhi yogam dadami tam. If we desire to forget Krishna, Krishna will give that intelligence. But the really intelligent person understands that my really desirable object is Krishna himself. Getting back to also the name Vishishta, it often happens, I give a lecture, then I think of some other things afterward. Krishna is distinguished, there are certain things which distinguish him from others. For instance, he's more powerful than everyone else. But even that's that distinguishes him as God. Your hand is on your mouth. You should go and wash it immediately. Not on your mouth. It was an optical illusion. Maybe. Sure looked like you had your hand on your mouth. Don't open the door with the hand that was on your mouth. He has certain features about him which distinguish him from others. In Vaikuntha, most of the residents have four hands. They're dressed in similar to Krishna, but to Narayana. But they may not all be blackish, dark hue like him, but there, many of them are also. But Krishna is particularly distinguished by his Srivatsa. That's one thing that particularly distinguishes him. The mark, the curl on his chest of hair that indicates that is the residence of Sri. Some people describe that as a mole. Then when he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, he had Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma when he appeared. These are distinguishing marks of him. Kostuba gem. That's also a distinguishing mark of him. So name 312 is Shikhandi. This is a well-known name for those who know the story of the Mahabharata. It's the name of Vishnu. Although in Mahabharata it's the name of a personality, is a very unusual personality. Those who want to say that Vedic culture had transsexuals, they cite Shikhandi, although in one life he was female and male. But anyway, there was some question about this when he got married. But it's actually a name for Krishna. It means one who has the insignia of nobility, one who has a tuft of hair, shika, and it also means one who has a peacock feather. Now, Krishna has a peacock feather. That's one of his specific qualities. Now, other cowherd boys may wear peacock feathers also. Yes, not only Krishna. That's also described in Shastra. There's some argument over whether Balaram should be dressed with a peacock feather, but other cowherd boys also use them. But specifically, Krishna always likes to have a peacock feather in his hair. Shikipuchamoli, that's another name of Krishna, which means he has a peacock feather in his hair. Now, if we see the four, again, we're mixing up the name here, Vishishta, with this name, Shikhandi, or we're considering the two names in comparison. So we find there are four characteristics of Krishna which distinguish him even from Narayana. Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Lila Madhurya. So what about his peacock feather? You mentioned his flute, why not mention his peacock? Krishna's peacock feather. Well, I thought about that and I thought, well, that's included in his Rupa Madhurya. That's part of his specific form. The flute, you could almost say it's part of his form because he's always with him. He always likes to have his flute, except when occasionally the gopis steal it. causing him great consternation. Krishna is very attached to his flute. But it's more than just his form, because he also plays the flute. So it's not just something to look at, but he actually uses it as a flute also. It's remarkable, huh, that Krishna plays the supreme personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Ekalesha, Advitiya Nanda Atmaja Rasika Shekhar. He's the Swayam Bhagavan up even above Narayana. This will be disputed by others, but anyway, among ourselves, we can boldly assert, among Gauriyas. And he plays a flute, which we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the gopis, they're quite surprised by this. It's just made out of bamboo. There are flutes which are made out of silver. It will be very costly to have a whole flute made out of silver, but Krishna is just bamboo, and so it's worth, in terms of money value, it's worth practically nothing, because bamboos are very common. To make it, of course, it requires an expert to make it, but it's not such a difficult thing. I mean, it's quite common. I've seen in Bengal that people walk around selling flutes. They have a whole bunch of them on their back, and they walk around playing, and people come and buy, because in Bengal, have you seen? In Mayapur also? Outside, must be outside. Outside on the main road, especially at festival times. But actually Mayapur is like all the year's festival, there's always so many people coming now. So in Bengal, music is very central to the culture, and that may be true in much of the world, but with the advent of recorded music being available to the masses, first of all via radio and then by polygraphic recordings, and then by tape recorders, was made available to everyone, and then cassette recorders, and then within CD players, and now we have any phone that can play. You can put your MP3 recordings in there. So music is very much part of the culture. You can have music wherever you go. That was the line of one song. With rings on her fingers, an English nursery rhyme. With rings on her fingers and bells on her toes, she shall have music wherever she goes. I can't remember anything more of that. So that's the sign of someone who's very aristocratic, very wealthy, that you're going to have music wherever you go, because music is something not very common. Someone has to actually play it, you don't have a recording. So if someone has music wherever they go, that means that they're wealthy enough that they can have musicians go wherever they are. There'll be musicians playing for them wherever they go. So nowadays everyone gets that. They have music wherever they go. But still in Bengal, the culture is very much playing your own music. Not that. And that's the culture of our Hare Krishna movement also. We can listen to music also, but with recordings, but we have our own music. We play music ourselves every day. Not many people in the world do that. So that's very much a part of Krishna's pastimes, is music. Ras Lila, we think of dancing, but there's music also. It's not just dancing without any music. It's difficult to imagine dancing without music. Well, I mean, sometimes people may just jump around a little bit in happiness or in pain. That's also possible. Usually in happiness, but a fully choreographed dance which goes on for a long time. Rasleela goes on for a long time. One night of Brahma. Some music is required also. So not all the gopis are dancing. Some are playing music also. So, and Krishna, when he's out with his cows, he's playing on the flute. And when he's out in the forest, he calls the gopis with the flute. So, getting off the subject a little bit, Shikhandi. This word, we generally think of the kind of shika that we all have. The main bulk of the head is shaved or at least cut short. And then there's a longer tassel at the end. But it can also mean a top knot. That means where the hair is all tied up. Maybe long hair, which is tied up. It's described that Nityananda Prabhu had such hair. And we see sadhus today, even they have their jata, long jata. Jata means long matted hair. I'm just saying it in English for those who wouldn't understand. You know the word jata? That's in Tamil also? Okay. So they often, when they're not showing it off to everyone, it's often tied up like this. In a shika, that word, it means like a flame, or the spire of a temple. It's called the shika in some parts of the world. In Gujarati, it's called the shika, is it not?
Sikar.
Sikar. So it means that it's like that shape. It's conical shape, tapered at the top. So Krishna also has that. At least sometimes his hair is tied in a top knot. So there's one name of Vishnu Sahasranam that specifically applies to Krishna. Then if we take that as being the peacock feather, because other forms... Oh, and then I'm saying Balaram may also have, but it's particularly the insignia of Krishna. Narayan doesn't have it. Krishna is decorated with forest paraphernalia. And also gems and so many things. But Krishna, it's described that the gopis and the cowherd boys, the gopas, they'll also decorate him with forest dyes, just like you'll find some rocks, they can be used as colors. This colored saris, that's nowadays with modern technology, all the women wear colored saris, although previously they mostly used to wear white saris with some little border to distinguish that they're not widows. And the widows wouldn't just wear white saris, it would be like almost gray. And in Tamil Nadu, it's like yellow, brown, the saris that the widows wear. But the color, that would be more expensive. And nowadays, with all modern chemicals, everyone, even the widows are wearing colored saris, which they're not supposed to do. But otherwise, you had to get the dyes. They're all natural dyes. So this indigo would be blue, and this... red that comes from this red lac, which goes on the women's feet also, that's made from some insects, actually. They crush the insects. Then yellow is turmeric, or golden is this gorochana, which comes from the stomach of cows. So those are the three primary colors, and then they're all mixed up in various ways. So, how again, it's talking about that. Can't remember. Anyway, Narayana has very regal dress. But Krishna, he has peacock feather. It's just something you can pick up. When you're wandering in the fields and the forest, pick up a peacock feather. Very beautiful. The Europeans, when they came to India, they were astonished to see the peacock. They couldn't imagine what a beautiful bird. There are all these, especially North Europe, everything's very dull there. It's like, today is a very dull day here. There's no sign of any sunshine, but that's normal in much of North Europe. You can go on for days and days and days without any sunshine. And you'll hardly find any brightly colored animals or birds or anything. Unusual. There's one kind of colored bird in England called the kingfisher. I mentioned that before. But you hardly see them unless you live next to a river. But in the tropical countries, they're all the birds and animals and all good. The biggest animal there is a horse. So it's much more interesting, India, actually. And if you go to Australia, it's really amazing. They have all kinds of colored birds. Birds of paradise, there's some birds called, that's in New Guinea and all. And they have all kinds of unusual flora and fauna. So it's very interesting, colorful. So Vrindavan is like that, very colorful, joyful. Also in the West, especially in Northern Europe, where there's not much sun, the practice of people is to dress in dark colored clothes. But we find all over the world, where there's a lot of sunshine, people like to dress in bright colored clothes. And now in India, people are also dressing in dark colored clothes because they think that's more like the West. So that's better. Otherwise, bright colored clothes, that gives a sense of happiness, brightness. Whereas dark clothes means dark, dull, tamasic outlook. That's one thing, it's notable, isn't it? It's noticeable when you go to the West, how dull, in the dull way everyone's dressed. Did you notice that?
Yeah, except in summer they don't wear
bright colors. Except in the summer, in the South. In the summer, in the North also. They get hot summers in Boston also. They don't wear hardly anything at all, do they? That's another problem. And people are usually, in the summer, they're more bright in their outlook, isn't it? And they're more grumpy in the winter. It affects the consciousness.
More happy
people. Yeah, it affects the consciousness. In, I believe it's the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, it states that the sun enlivens the Paramahamsas, it picks up the consciousness. We find in countries where it's all dark and cool, that people also, they become dark and cold and depressed. It's a noted syndrome that in countries, just like in many parts of northern Scandinavia and northern Russia, it'll be literally, you won't see any sunshine for 6 months at a time. And then 6 months, you'll have only sunshine, so it's very difficult to sleep at night. But in the 6 months which are dark, you just want to sleep all the time. And people, it's known, people, they just get depressed. They just feel depressed. It's just dark all the time. So, Krishna's Vrindavan, there's light and dark. And here in the tropics, as we get closer to the equator, there's not much difference all the year round between what time the sun rises and the sun sets. So you get a good quota of day and night. It's all balanced like that. But just like you'll find the sunset time, often in this part of the world, it'll be more or less the same for a few days in a row. I was noting that I was in Sweden. When was I there? Just last September, I think it was. And the sunset time would change every day by about 5 or 6 minutes. because they have to go between, they have a very long day in the summer and a very long night in the winter. That's in southern Sweden. In northern Sweden there's just day and one day and one night in a year. So it's all quite unnatural. This part of the world is actually much better for cultivating God consciousness. You don't have to work hard for making money or any such thing. You just, in many parts of India, just you don't have to make much effort to get food. If you live simply, you don't have to do much work at all. So you can cultivate God consciousness very easily. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic here. Shikhandi, Krishna, has a nice peacock feather. He's a cowherder, so he has to go taking out the cows. But what kind of work that is? It's not like going to a factory. You'll find the cowherd boys, they're taking out the cows, they're playing all day. Nowadays they call that child abuse. They didn't send Krishna to school, they made him work. That's what Padma, the widow of Kamsa, who is living, she's also the mother of Kamsa, the widow. Yeah, the mother of Kamsa, yeah. So she would always blame the inhabitants of Vrindavan. You see, they forced him to go out and do work and look after the cows. They didn't even give him any shoes. But Krishna's very happy doing that. He has no work. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natatsamas cha bhyadikasrachasrachate parasya shakti vividhai vashuyate swabhaviki gyanabalakriyacha. He has no work. Everything, he's God, everything's under his supervision, but he has all, his energies are doing everything, just automatically. And he's free to play. This is God. Okay, another name. Nahusha. This name is also better known, not as a name of Vishnu, but as the name of one pious king who became a stand-in Indra. As also described in Mahabharata. He became a stand-in Indra, and then he was a thrown-out Indra. The real Indra got thrown out, Nahush came in, and Nahush got thrown out also. But it's originally a name for Vishnu. Actually, every name is a name for Vishnu. So Nahush means one who binds, ties up. So he binds everyone by his maya. He binds his devotees by love. Pranaya rasaya. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. He ties his devotees by the rope of love. So everyone is tied up by Krishna. Everyone is a prisoner. You're tied up. Tied up means you can't do what you like freely. Well, that's the situation. We're not independent. We're manusha partha sarvashaha. We're all on Krishna's path. Krishna sets the rules. We're all bound up by Krishna. We can either be bound by love, in which we admit, we accept that Krishna is Ishta. He is desirable. He is Vishishta. He is special. We are not special. Or we can deny that. And then we're bound by Krishna's maya in birth and death. All the planets, they move in their orbit. Well, the sun is described. Yachakshareesha savitasakala grahanam, raja samasta suramurti rasheesha teja. yasyagya brahmati samvrita kala chakra govindavadi purusham tamaham vajami. The mighty sun gives light to all the planets, is going in his orbit on the order of Govinda. So Krishna binds everything. How are the planets moving? It's supposed to be gravity. Krishna, ultimately Krishna holds everything in place. Now the modern scientists, they will say, no, no, it's gravity, well, there's no God. You can say gravity. You can say this, that, and the other. Of course, there's a problem with that gravitational theory that everything's held in place by gravity because there's not enough mass in the universe to hold everything in place. So what you can do is just invent some invisible mass. That's the latest scientific speculation. It may be, we don't know. What do we know? What do we care? Krishna holds it in place. They're studying the universe, this planet, that planet, and they should think, where are they going to next? Which planet are you headed for? They may have their different theories. We know they're all headed for one planet called Yamaloka. They can all do the... Yes, and in Yamaloka, when these Yamadutas hit you with rods, and we can do some scientific experiment. How much is it painful? Ah! They can go and experiment there. So the next name is Vrishaha. This name has already come up several times in Dharma Vrishaha. It means a bull, and it also means, just like that well-known word in most Indian languages, Varsha, to mean rain, in Telugu also, rain. Vrishti, in Bengali, Vrishti. So, as the bull, it's described that he's the symbol of Dharma. Dharma is always equated with the bull. And as rain, he who, just like a rain, he releases us from the scorching fire of material life. Sangsara dava nalalir haloka. Everyone in this world is scorched in the forest fire of material life. So tranaya karanya ghana ghanatvam. Praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya mandegaroshi charanaravindam. So this is describing the guru who receives water from the ocean of mercy and sprinkles it on the world. So Krishna is the ocean of mercy who sprinkles the rain which relieves us from the heat of this material life. So what is that rain? That's him himself. He is the Varsha. Just thinking of Krishna, speaking of Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, remembering Krishna, all of this that just brings us relief from material life. The psychologists would call this escapism. See, in the real world, we're here and there's so many problems, and you're just thinking of God. You know God, but you're just thinking about God, and it makes you feel good. They can say whatever they like, but factually we find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's not just something temporary, that's eternal. By remembering Krishna here, we feel relief from the scorching fire of material life. And we attain ultimately permanent relief, by permanent release from material life, by remembering Krishna. So that's his mercy. He showers mercy in so many ways by personally coming and showing himself and giving his instructions, which he leaves behind, sending his devotees. He reveals his holy dhams, his holy name, which he makes available by arranging for devotees to preach the holy name. So in this way, he showers his mercy. And Particularly his devotees, he showers his mercy on his. It's available for everyone, but those who try to avoid Krishna's mercy, they put an umbrella to shade themselves. No, I'm not going to be Krishna conscious. Matena Krishna Paratasvatova. So they won't. They can avoid being drenched by Krishna's mercy. Also, Krishna, he may shower with mundane opulence also. If people want that, Krishna can give that also. He may give to his devotees also, just like we always think of Sudama as being very poor, but actually he eventually became very rich, unimaginably rich. But that's not, as he understood, that's not Krishna's real mercy on him. So Krishna showers mercy. Shankara quotes from Mahabharata. In these commentaries, by the way, I'm just speaking, but the various commentators, they'll give quotations from Mahabharata and Ramayana and from Shruti and Puranas to give definitions of these names. So it's not just that they're doing some imaginative interpretation. So here's one from Shantipava of Mahabharata, which Shankara gives in his Vishnu Sahasranama commentary. Vrisho hi Bhagavan dharma smito lokeshu bharata nai ghantuka padakhyarnai vidhi mam vrisha ityuta. O Arjuna, Vrisha is explained by the lexicographers. Lexicographer means those who define or codify the definitions of words. Vrisha is explained by the lexicographers and likewise known in this world as sacred dharma. So dharma means Vrisha. Hence know me as Vrisha. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Hare Krishna. So I'll finish there. Any question or comment about this?
Balaramji likes white peacock feathers.
Balaram likes white peacock feathers. Well, you don't see. I've never seen a white peacock. I don't remember ever seeing a white peacock. Presumably, there are white peacocks because the albino is there in most species. Those. A white peacock? They don't usually live very long. White albinos. Well, our god brother, Dadi Baksha, they're quite common in India, I think more common than in the West. People who are just white, they have no pigment in their skin. White means not what this is white, this is actually more like red. This is more what they call white. Is usually more like red. In Bengal, I often used to get called Lal Banar. You know what I was going to say, huh? Red monkey. And you hear boys insulting you like that. But fully white, there's no pigment whatsoever. Quite common in India, yeah. And usually their eyes are pink color and they can't see very well. Is it? Vitamin deficiency. Well, they must be in the mother then, because they're born like that. White peacock feathers. I know. Well, it's a new one to me. I never heard that. Maybe they're bringing these white ostrich feathers. That seems to be quite popular now. Dressing deities with ostrich feathers. But ostrich feathers are not peacock feathers. Generally, feathers of birds are considered not very clean. Chicken feathers, they're used for making brushes for cleaning. Otherwise, feathers are used for making quilts. They used to be in the Western world. The word for quilt for is one word for that is eiderdown. Eider means a young duck, and down means the soft feathers. So you have to kill a lot. Oh, anyway, Hare Krishna.
Is there some pastime where king of peacocks offered his feathers to Krishna, and from then Krishna was wearing peacock feathers?
The king of the peacocks offered a feather to Krishna, and from then Krishna was wearing it. It may be, I don't remember that. There are many stories told in the Goswami's writings, plus folklore. Those things are there. We know that Krishna and Radha became a peacock and peahen to dance. That's a well-known story.
Varshana,
yeah. Hare Krishna. Maybe the peacocks will dance if there's some thunder and rain. They like to dance. In June and July, there's thunder and rain is common. Looks like it may rain today. Hare Krishna!